Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, and welcome back to the You Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. Jordana, a pleasure to be back here with you. Virtually, of course. How are you? What's going on? What's happening today in your world?
I am good. Mike went to his office, so I got the whole apartment to myself. It's very exciting.
How does that feel? I said it on stage. I was like, listen, if you're living with your significant other during these times, you're ready for them to take a walk. You know, like you're ready for them. It's not that you don't love them, but you're ready to like, yeah, let me, you know, spread my legs. Let me sit in the way I want to sit. Let me do my thing without having to like, you know, it's not that you tiptoe around a significant other, but you just kind of, you're more wary, and that's just a little exhausting over 9-10 months.
Yeah, it's just a lot. It's a lot to be sharing like office space with someone that you live with and you spend time with after. And like, I mean, our fights are like very stupid and like easy like to get over. But it's just kind of like whose job is like the priority right now is almost like, and like who gets kicked. We have a pretty small bedroom. So it's like who was like banished to the bedroom for their calls where the internet is worse. And who gets like, you know what I mean? It's very, we have to like fight for our resources here. So it's nice that he went to his office where he's like the only person there. So,
And when you split, like, especially when you, like, it almost becomes easier when there is one person that like pays for everything. Like you almost wish that you did pay for everything.
Like, this is the job that's supporting us. Whereas like now it's like, there's two jobs. So we've got to, you know, figure out an equal balance of power. It's also like interesting to see the way like the housework gets like divided now that you're spending all of your time in the house.
Even if you make Jordana, you're the CEO of a huge multimedia company, but if you're splitting the rent, it doesn't matter. You can't look at Mike and go, you know, here are the tax returns, get the fuck out of my seat, bitch. Like you can't do that, Dan. You split the tab. Like, because Jess and I split the rent. Like, there's no moment where you're like, well, I get the desk because, or she can't look at me and be like, I get the desk because you're a fucking loser, you know?
You get that excuse like every once in a while where you're like, this is a really important meeting. I need you to like shut the fuck up for this hour or go somewhere else or do that. Like, you can pull that card, but you have to like, it actually has to be worth it, I think.
It can't just be any run-of-the-mill You Up episode.
Exactly. There has to be, you know, Oprah's got to be coming on the episode for me to be like, it's funny, last week we were recording and you remember like there was like a headphone issue. Our headphone wires got crossed and that was like the crux of the 2020 living together issue. So I go into the bedroom where I had told him I had banished him. I go into the bedroom to be like, can you turn the Bluetooth off on the headphones? And he's on a call and he like, do you remember that video of the guy when his kid, he's on a conference call and the kid walks in. I was like the kid, he literally was pushing the door closed so that I couldn't speak to him or like no one would see me. I was like, I am not like a 3-year-old. It was, and then I'm like rage texting him about like the fact that he's like kicking me out of the room and not responding to my text to turn off the headphones. But yeah, it becomes like a battle of like who's meeting is more important, but
it's
overall, yeah, that being
but
said,
it's gotta be nice. That being said, it's gotta be nice to have the home to yourself a little bit today. Right.
Totally. And I like that it gives me a chance to like miss him a little bit. It's nice. So you should be able to miss your partner. I think that's an important part of a relationship.
Jess went back to Atlanta with her family. I'm here with my family in Boca. I'm feeling it, I do miss her, but I definitely, when she got out of here, I was like, let me spread these wings a little bit. Like, I'm going to look at my phone all day long.
Jared, all those jokes about going back to your parents' house have really
come back to haunt you a little bit. Well, I have to say that this is, say what you want about Florida, but it, mentally, I'm, you know, they had an extra room. I ain't going to say no to that considering the cold winter months. I was ready to, like, I was like, you could see my, you know, I was like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. Like, they're like, do you want to come down? And I was like, whoop, 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 whoop. Like, my legs started spinning like wheels.
Now you're having dinner at 5.
Dinner's at 5. My mom, I mean, that is the thing about being with your parents. They are very attuned to the time that you eat. If I ate at 3:30 one day, and it was as if I went and burnt the hot, you know, the kitchen on fire. Like, it was like, nobody, who eats at 3? How are you going to eat dinner? When are you going to eat breakfast tomorrow? 8 p.m.? Like, it's just like that story. It's just, you don't realize how particular people get until they're older. But I'm happy. I'm here. I'm. It's definitely nice to be able to, like, jump in a pool every now and again. Mentally, I feel pretty good. And I think that's a tough thing. That's got to be the toughest part about New York. Like, just not being able to, like, go get a cup of coffee because it's too cold to even walk and they won't even let you sit in there. Like, that's, it's brutal.
Yeah. New York's not the best, most exciting place to be right now, but it's fine. I've got all my shit here. That's nice. That's where I'm
generally,
at.
That should be the new tagline for New York State. Yeah, your shit's already here. Might as well just live here.
Basically, that's whenever we want to go somewhere, I'm like, oh, we should get an Airbnb for a month. I'm like, then I got to, like, bring all my shit and, like,
get a place.
I just split all this shit here. Like, I don't want to put it somewhere else now.
Get a mom who will do one sock of a laundry load like mine does. My mom's like, bring the laundry. I'm like, there's like a sock and a t-shirt. I told you, bring the laundry. That is every day. This is every day. I'm just washing this. This shirt's been washed 7,000 times. So I wanted to talk to you about something. I saw something on the Today Show now that I'm a 50-year-old woman.
Yeah, I was going to say, you really are living with very elder middle-aged parents if you're watching Today Show.
What do you think of, they had a thing on Cameo breakups.
That's fucking terrible. That's horrible. That was the worst thing I've heard all week.
Well, you wouldn't rather get a breakup from, you know, a celebrity just being like, hey, I hate to break the news to you, or is it, would you want that as a post breakup thing, or would that make you want the person more? Like,
if I'm 15, I want to be broken up with by, like, a celebrity. If I'm, like, in a real, like, what do I want? Like, fucking Chris Harrison telling me that I'm getting a divorce? Like,
I was just thinking, okay, so then who do you get it? Do you get the celebrity that you like to dump the other person, or do you get someone that they like? Like, that's, like Jess loves fish. Like
then you ruin them for them.
Do it? Does it? What?
I think so. Can you get a Cameo to fire someone?
I think you should be able to. Why not? Like, hey.
Right? Can you imagine receiving that Cameo? You're like, who's like a good, like, C-list celebrity? Like, you're Andy Dorfman and someone's like, Andy, I'm going to need you to fire my assistant.
Hi, I'm Andy Dorfman. And this is... This is a special message. I know this is going to be hard to hear, but Betches Media is going to be moving on without you. You're going to have to collect your things. We're going to need your laptop.
For this COBRA form, you know, to maintain your health insurance. But all that will be mailed to you.
Yeah. I'm Kevin from The Office. Remember how fun the chili episode was? Well... this won't be as fun. Betches Media is going to be letting you go.
That's great.
Like, I was thinking, like, if a girl dumped me, with, and it was The Rock. Hey, Jared.
You knew they spent a lot on it.
They say, I mean, The Rock is expensive. So that goes into the, like, how thoughtful was this? And then I'd be like, I love The Rock. And The Rock is like, listen, I got to give you the people's elbow on this relationship. We're going to layeth the smacketh down on your heart today. Like, I would be okay. I think at least you have the momentum. You have the physical video. You can hold on to it. You can show friends. It becomes fun fodder for the group chat.
I feel like if both people are aware that the relationship is super casual, then that would be like fine and kind of funny.
So that's funny. So you think it would be okay for a hookup situation? Like, let's say it's 3 months in, and you send a text being like, hey, like I send you a text 3 months in. I go, Jordana, listen, I'm just not looking to get serious right now. And then you don't answer. And then I'm like, okay, fine. I'll have Chris Harrison send a message to be like,
send
Jared just wants to let you know I'm really sorry. He means no harm, but he just wants to have sex with many women at once, and he knows that that is impossible based on where you guys land. Like, I guess I think the follow-up to the breakup, it's actually fun.
If it's like you've already broken up with them over text casually, then this is like a funny extra thing. I don't know who would spend their money on that, though. If you like, why are you looking to spend more money on someone you broke up with?
Well, that's the difference between men and women. Men will spend as much money as possible to make sure that they're not thought of as a dick, I think. That's why, that's like back to the thing of like, why would he keep texting if he wasn't want to make a date? Well, he's trying to soften this whole thing. It's like,
I'd probably think they were more of a dick though, if they did that. Cause I'd be like, they're like kind of making, if I was actually like a little hurt or upset by it, I'd be like, I'm being like, they're like treating like this like a joke. And like, I'm actually upset.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anyone in my life that I've been with that would be like cool with this. It would have to be that we like, it would have to be way down the line. I don't know. I think it's a good idea. I think though, the idea that like, can you believe he broke up with me using Flavor Flav? I'd be like, well, can I see the video at least? Like, you know that there's actual, someone got a laugh. I will break up with their people's partners. I've gotten pretty good at Cameo. I'll do some cameos
for
that.
You're really going to earn your money there. I like this firing idea. I'm going to really make the celebrities work for their money.
What you would have to do is have everyone sign in their contract, hey, and if we let you go, it's going to be via Cameo from a celebrity of our choosing. Like, you could slip that into any hiring contract so that it relieves you of any, you know, like, problem. I think that's a good idea.
It's an interesting one. I'm gonna take it up with HR. We're gonna see what they think of the idea.
I just think guys would have the best celebrities for that. That's,
we would. Like, I think we would. Speaking of hiring and firing and hiring, we are hiring a new You Up social media content creator. So
really?
We're looking to up our You Up game. Do a lot of cool things with the Instagram, with social media, expand in that way. So if you are looking for a job and you are a big fan of this podcast and you think you could run our social media really well, please email jobs@betches.com. That's jobs@betches.com with your resume, why you want to work for You Up specifically as a content creator. And if you're in the New York area, or you will be once this shit is over, let us know.
So they have to be in the New York area. They could be, I mean, for
right,
now,
for now they can be remote. But once we go back in, they're going to.
Well, this could be a great thing for someone out there. They're like, I want to make a job change, or I'm looking for a job. I'm sitting here in my parents' basement and I need something to look forward to. We've just given the carrot. That's
there you
right.
Go.
And I have an announcement. I'm going to be doing some live shows. Tampa, Florida, Des Moines, Iowa. My punchline town for, I was about to use Des Moines for someone living in their basement. Des Moines, Iowa, Tampa, Florida, socially distanced shows. I'll be coming straight from Boca, straight from my, I got a whole new, all new material. And also, I'm going to have, I'm just going to tease this out. Is that okay, Jordana?
Go for
it. This is a tease. My YouTube page is about to have something very, very special. Very special. So please subscribe to my YouTube page, youtube.com/JaredFreed. And also, we got, you know, the Sunday special, we have some special guests. We got this week, at the end of this episode, we got, you know,
we got Stephen Coletti and James Lafferty. If you were a Gossip Girl or One Tree Hill fan, and you had a huge crush on these two, like I did, you're going to love the end of this episode because we're having both of them on. And
I don't know if we put out the video, but they look amazing. They inspired me too.
I said that to Mike as soon as we finished recording, and he's like, I see you put on makeup for this. I'm like, I was like, my 16-year-old self would be, I know this might be hard to believe. I'm not like a huge screamer.
Yeah.
But my 16-year-old self would be screaming.
You said that to them.
Yeah, they were both like the teen heartthrobs of like 2006, 2007. That's when I was in high school. Like, they were hot shit, and they still look pretty good.
That was the thing. I was like, are they good at lighting, or do I need to stop drinking? Like, I was like, it's one or the other, because they looked amazing. I mean, Stephen Coletti looked like he was etched from stone. I was like, hey, Kristen Cavallari should be
get on it,
like pissed off right now. She's sitting there with a divorced and a kid. Coletti's just hanging and single.
She looks pretty good too. In her defense,
fair. That
she
is
looks
fair.
Pretty. Yeah, that's something fair. In that California water. Those. Or, I don't know. That's
or
very
that Tennessee water.
Yeah.
So we got Stephen Coletti and or Stephen Lafferty and
Stephen Coletti and James Lafferty.
I always get that switched up. It's been for 20 years now. I switch up their names. So I also, this Sunday special is like kind of a very special you up. We have a comedian, Erica Sparra, coming on to talk about dating with herpes, and she's super funny besides this topic. And it's a really, I'm proud of the conversation we had. And I'm sure, you know, it's nice that people are talking about those episodes, but I think people will really enjoy hearing her perspective on dating with herpes.
Definitely.
It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed, but let's be real. I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed. And get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BowlandBranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BowlandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you are allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities. blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I wanted to also talk about a few. We got a lot of responses to a few previous episodes we had done in the red flag deal breaker section.
This is like the episode of the sitcom where they go to the best ofs. Like, we have like all these fun updates.
A few updates that were very funny. So like, I had a ton of people DM or email us in about the Goodreads guy, the red flag or deal breaker we did about the Goodreads guy who had over 200.
So explain that. Yeah, because I explained it to the people. The Goodreads guy, I didn't know even the site existed.
So Goodreads is like a site for rating and sharing books. It's sort of like a book community. So someone had in a previously red flag or deal breaker written in that they had like thought this guy in a call was hot. They Googled him. He had over 200 reviews on Goodreads and a lot of the books were very weird. A lot of people responded saying that you get free books. This is supposedly supposed to make it better that he had all these reviews, that you get free books. The more books you review, to me, it seemed a little cheap.
Well, it's cheap if you're doing like, but also like, you can write 50 words, I would assume. Like, you don't have to write long passages. And also, the books were weird that he was reviewing, right?
They thought that made it better. I thought it was like still fine. And then
there
we
are
got
some, sorry to interrupt, but there's some people that will defend when they hear something maybe a little bit constructive and a little bit any criticism, they'll just defend, well, reading is good. It's like, no, there's context. There's actual nuance here. Like,
there's more to it than, you know, like, how far are we willing to go for free things? That's an episode in itself, right?
Yeah. If I was to say I'm a huge reader because I read the back of the cereal boxes, you can't just say I'm a reader. Like, that's just not the same.
That's also true.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, we got way more responses to this thing, was someone who wrote, a ton of people who responded to the red flag or deal breaker about the closed mouth kisser. Do you remember that one?
So the closed mouth kisser was a guy who never opened his mouth during kissing. And you had said you had seen this before, right?
I hadn't seen it before, pursed with a guy, but Mike had dated a girl who was a closed mouth kisser. And I think Jess said that she had dated a guy that was a closed mouth kisser. And we thought it was odd. And we wanted the people to write in if they were that person. And we got a lot. I guess there's a lot of these people out there. So I'll just read a few of the responses we got.
Please, because I do think there's some confusion. Like, to me, closed mouth kisser is like I'm pursing my lips. You kiss.
Like, I think they're thinking anything without tongue, which I agree. I still think is kind of weird. Anything without tongue.
Yeah, like you're kissing a ghost mouth, like a tongueless mouth. Yeah, okay.
So someone wrote, here's a couple reasons people had, because we did ask people to send in their reasons. Someone said, long-term hookup in college, his breath smelled like literal shit. I don't think he brushed his teeth. It really grossed me out. My message to dudes, please brush and floss. If you don't, your breath stinks. So I guess smelly breath is a reason people don't do closed mouth kissing.
But again, that's like not, it's not like you're a closed mouth kisser. You know, like you just had
a particular person in this case.
Yeah, you juked to avoid bad breath. Okay.
Right. So, which is like, I don't know why you just wouldn't kiss the person in the first place. This seems like
I mean, once you're in. Like, it's hard to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The second one along the same lines was, the boyfriend, now ex, the dude produced so much saliva, it grossed me out. The only comparison I say, it was like an overly friendly, slobbery dog greeting you by licking you all over the place, except that comparison does a disservice to dogs everywhere because dogs are cute. Therefore, you can forgive them for being disgusting. I would try to avoid kissing this dude as much as possible, but the main issue is I simply was not attracted to him and we're incompatible. Whole other story. Well, that's weird that he's your ex-boyfriend then.
Yeah, I mean, don't you think there has to be a talk about kissing if you're going to go on from the slobbery dog? Like, hey, like, and it's probably the hardest. I would think discussing someone's kissing habits is harder than discussing maybe sexual stuff because you just assume everyone knows what they're doing with kissing. But like, hey, you're licking me. Like,
right.
Like, yeah, wouldn't you say that before moving forward?
That's a tough conversation to have. I think it'd be weird if you had that little sexual chemistry with someone to actually have them as your boyfriend, like get that far. But
yes,
I guess somehow it worked for them. So then another, this one was about no tongue kissing in general. She wrote, I absolutely hate kissing with tongue. It just grosses me out, especially because in my experience, guys try to shove their tongues down my throat and it is far from enjoyable. When I make out with someone, I don't keep my mouth closed. I do a lot with my lips and kind of suck on their lips and tickle it with my tongue. And I have been told I'm a very good kisser by a couple of guys. If someone tries to use tongue, I tell them I don't like that. I think it's all about finding someone who has the same style of kissing as you. I was shocked to hear that Jordana liked using tongue because I thought it was only a guy thing because my best friend feels the same way I do. But I haven't consulted other friends. Hope that can offer some insight. What do you think of that? Have you ever, like,
wow.
I was like, I read this. I'm like, am I a hoe?
Sean, you have to take that clip and we have to be able to drop that at any time. We have to get Jordana saying, I read this and thought, am I a hoe? I want that on a button that I can press anytime. This person is getting defensive. She's like, I absolutely hate kissing with tongue. No, a kiss to me is like dancing. You go forward, they go forward, they go back, you go back, you touch a tongue, the way she described her kiss sounds crazy. I mean,
she sucks on their lips and tickles it with her tongue.
And
that's like her universal method?
Yeah, so it's like, I think with any makeout, you have to come in there looking to lead and follow. Like, you have to, like, do, you know, come in with a kiss, but also, like, kissing is listening. You have to listen to your partner in that. You can't just take over a kiss with your method. Like, if I was kissing someone and all of a sudden they started biting, I would retreat. I would let them do their bite tickle move. But I wouldn't I think when you do something so drastic, like she's saying with tickling and with the tongue, of course she's hearing from guys that they like the kissing because you have to. It's like hearing someone go, right. like at that point, they've made a very big creative decision. So now you have to comment on the creative decision.
Right. It's like if you showed up with an obscene hat.
Yes.
And you were like wearing the hat as if it was totally normal. Like, and someone was like, wow, like, that's a cool hat.
Yeah. And then you went around going, everyone says they like it. I was like, everyone has to say something.
Right. It does seem that's very funny. I do think that's like a pretty good analogy for that.
Yeah. The hat. Hey, everybody. Saying nothing means they hated it. So if two guys said they liked it, then
everyone else thinks it's weird.
Yes. I would assume, right?
Yeah, I agree. And then we got one more person.
Also,
who wrote in.
Before you get out, sorry to interrupt, but thank you for writing in, whoever.
Thank you for
was.
Writing in. Yes. And thank you for making me feel self-conscious about using tongue and kissing.
I stopped to think, am I a hoe?
Am I? And then I very Carrie Bradshaw of me.
Yes, James, it was.
Someone wrote, love the podcast. Wanted to weigh in on the kissing conversation. Previously dated a guy who also didn't really use his tongue when we kissed / made out. He did open his mouth at least and was otherwise a good kisser. So I never really had a problem with it. He was my second relationship. So I thought maybe not using the tongue was more of a thing than I originally thought. As our relationship progressed and I used my tongue, and he also started using his a bit more. He never gave me a reason why he didn't kiss with tongue and I didn't press it. So I don't have any answers on that front. I thought for that guy that he was probably like, he just never really made out with anyone before.
Yeah. I also think that's about taking, some people want to be led. Like I think like guys are in this position where it's like, you always have to come in with your kissing method and you lead the way. And it's like, you know, be a man. And it's like, yeah, this guy just wanted to learn. And sometimes you got to, you know, take the lead.
Right. And then my favorite part of this email was her P.S., which she wrote, P.S., there was a red flag deal breaker in that episode about a guy who only had one fork. And I've also dated a guy who only had one fork. Different guy. I found out when he told me he wanted to cook me dinner at his place, and when it was ready, he said, you go ahead and start, and once you're done, I'll use the fork. You knew I had more silverware at home and could have asked me to bring some.
I have to say, that's commitment to the thing. Like, for him to go, like I always respect people who are themselves to it, like, to the end. And for him to go, all right, you're up first, and then I'll run it under the water, and then I'll eat, and you watch me, like, for him to not admit that that's weird, he's just like, that's just me. I love that.
You like that. So if that happened, you'd be into it if a girl.
I not into it. I would more respect it.
You go. I'm a gentleman. I'm going to let you go first.
I do have to say, I'm in Florida right now, and I have like 10 items of clothing, and it is freeing. It does feel good. Like, I like having nothing.
Okay. You're like very, it's like very Marie Kondo, life-changing magic, tidying up.
I see the value in it. There has never been a moment here where I've been without something. And when now that we live in this like Amazon world, this actually happened. I keep ordering things from Amazon to my parents' house, but like, I don't think the other generation understands how frivolous Amazon purchases are to us. So like, one day I got in the car, my parents and I were going out to dinner, and my parents are in this huge fight, and my mom is like, you know, your dad, he just never stops. He never stops. And then my dad's like, you keep ordering everything. You don't know where it's coming from. You're just spending like crazy. And I was like, what did you order? And she goes, I don't know. We got these red glasses, and things just keep coming. And I go, yeah, I ordered red sunglasses and a fire t-shirt and a wig. Did it come? She goes, wait a minute, that was all yours? I was like, yeah, I'm doing like a Guy Fieri thing on Instagram, and I needed
all
these.
She didn't even realize it wasn't hers?
Both of them. They just thought things just kept coming, and that like someone had, you know, stolen their credit card or whatever. So it's like, I just don't think like the idea of like a trickle of Amazon packages coming to your house, I don't know if it reaches my parents' age range.
Right. That's funny that you said you have 10 clothes and you like it. It really is making me rethink my theory of living wherever all my shit is.
Well, yeah. That really hurts circle. New York's new marketing campaign of your shit's all here. You
all
might as well just fucking
here.
Stay.
Yeah.
This has been a nice look back. I appreciate people writing in. I mean, we're not going to do this every time, but like, I like that people are responding to these things, you know, obviously.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/UUP.
All right, let's do some awkward sex. You want to read it?
Absolutely. Let's do it. UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. You ready?
I'm ready.
Hey, J&J. I was cracking up at Jordana's story about clogging the toilet on the latest episode. It made me think of something that happened to me several years ago that I've tried to push deep into my memory. I hit it off with a guy one night at a bar and ended up going back to his place at the end of the night. I have to say, how much do you like, I don't know if you, isn't it crazy? I actually do I mentioned my YouTube page earlier, but I did a stand-up bit about how casual sex has just been extinct in 2020.
Yeah.
Think about how long ago this feels to hear that someone hit it off with a guy when I had a bar and went back to his place at the end of the night. Like, how nostalgic that feels right now. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, like at a bar, that part specifically, I would say.
Yeah.
Because I think you can still probably meet up with people you meet on apps, but it's not like that's like, it's not the same rush as like, I'm out, I see you in the bar or drinking.
I went to the bar knowing nobody, came and woke up in a different place than where I left from. You know, yeah, like
magical.
And also nothing's even casual today. Like there's so many more questions to ask. Like, will you be, you know, seeing, you know, someone, right, you know, in the next 12 to 4, you know, like
when did we think that, imagine last year at this time, thinking that a year from then you'd be asking someone, you know, how often they see their grandparents as part
exactly
of their, before you sleep with them.
Yeah. Can I go down on you now? You know, like,
exactly.
Part of the. So, okay. So I hit it off with a guy one night at a bar and ended up going back to his place at the end of the night. It was one of those perfect nights where it seems like it might be the start of something good. We hooked up that night and I slept over. The next morning, he had to get up early and leave for work, but he told me I was welcome to stay and wake up slowly. I just keep hearing da 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 da, like the perfect day.
Yeah.
He said I should feel free to help myself to coffee, and that since the apartment door had a push code, it would lock on its own behind me. Think about it now, I wonder what the F I was thinking, not just getting up and going to my own bed, but I think the combination of my hangover and the fact that it was only 6 a.m. made me take him up on the offer. I actually don't blame her.
Yeah.
Do you?
I mean, in my story, that's exactly what happened. I mean, I was less of a one night stand, but still it was like someone's like, they're leaving super early for work. Like, why not sleep?
Yeah. Get the whole bed. They got a nice place. Like, especially if the place is nice.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, and you felt a sense of trust with the person. Yeah. Let's kick it. Why not? I got up an hour or so later and had to go to the bathroom. Yes. Number two. I like that she answered the question on all of our minds. Yeah,
I get it.
So she went to the bathroom to take a huge dump. Oh, no, that's what I said. Never. She didn't write that. Okay. I figured that since I was alone there, I would just quickly go before calling an Uber. But but when I went to right now, a man is listening going, women poop. But when I went to flush the toilet, it didn't work. I tried for several minutes to no avail. Thinking quickly, I grabbed a plastic grocery bag and scooped out my poop, tying it up in the bag. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I figured I would just toss the bag in a public trash can outside
before heading
home. Can
you imagine doing this when you're hungover?
No. I
like adding that extra layer to it.
I just can't imagine, like, I don't know, where's my life going? I'm sleeping at guys' places. I got
scooping
a bag of shit in my hand.
It's like, my own shit.
I do, like, we're reading this and it's during the awkward sex portion of the program, so we both know it's not going to a good place. But along the way, you have to go, you kind of understand how you come to these conclusions. Oh, he left early. I'll just sleep. I gotta take a shit. I'll go here. No one here. Oh my God, the toilet won't flush. I'll get a plastic bag. I'll scoop out the shit. Like, none of it doesn't come together until the end, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So I figured I would just toss the bag in a public trash can outside before heading home. Before I left, poop bag in hand, I decided to be cute. Okay. At this point, cute is out the window. Can we just agree?
You do have a bag of your own feces in your hand. I don't know why.
Yeah.
She's like, now is the time for some romance, for some flirting.
Yeah. Get out of there. Take a shower. We'll be cute later. Like, we'll be cute on the second date.
Yeah.
I decided to be cute and write him a note thanking him for a fun night. I found a post-it and a pen, jotted down the note, and left it on the counter, giving my full name and phone number. As soon as the apartment door clicked shut behind me, I remembered, to my horror, she puts in capital, that I had left the bag of poop on the counter next to my note. Yes.
This seems like something from a sitcom. This is like
it
too
legitimately.
Good.
Oh my God. I mean, I didn't have the code to get back in, so there was nothing I could do about it. I basically left him a bag of poop next to all my identifying information. Needless to say, I never heard from him. I frequently think about how horrified he must have been when he came home from work that day. This is the funniest one we've ever gotten to me. Because I can't stop thinking of him coming home. It's like you were fucked by a mob boss and you better call me back or there's more shit coming.
Thanks so much for nothing.
You don't go down on me, you're getting a pile of shit on the kitchen counter. Like, what?
Right, like no explanation for him as to like where or why that, and also probably the horror that he had to see, like, I left this animal in my apartment.
Yeah, what else is, where's the, like, you would, I would think that this is like some weird scavenger hunt, like he's just gonna find shit hidden around the house. Also, we don't know how, where this email is coming from, but like, was it a hot day? People turn off the AC before when they leave the house. Like, you basically hotboxed their fucking apartment.
Yeah, that's quite traumatic. That's, if I were him, not for her. For her, she's probably, I mean,
well, also,
I guess she gave him her number. So,
hey, if you like more of this, call me. Like, maybe it's her fetish. Like, you don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I also, like, she didn't have his number, I would assume, if you're jotting down your information. So there's really no way of finding out, like, to apologize to him, to let him know, like, if it's a one-night stand and you, like, know his first name.
If she had his number, do you think it would have made sense for her to text him?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I think, especially, I think you gotta.
How do you even start that text?
Hey, this is super awkward. I would start at, hey, your toilet is broken. Let me start here. Now, secondly,
I'm not a plumber or anything. I think your toilet
is... Now, on to the bigger issue. Like, hey, I don't know if you have... Yeah, it is horrifying. I mean, in my fraternity, people used to
shitbox...
People used to shitbox people in my fraternity all the time.
Really? That's people when you send someone? Shit.
No, what you would do is if someone was really messy and didn't take care of their room in the fraternity, you didn't, like, they would just have trash out. And so guys sometimes would shit into a box and put it under the bed because the person would never clean their shit. And slowly over time, the room would smell worse and worse. And it, you know, they would just be like, ah, man, I guess I should be cleaning this, you know, this
oh, wow.
place. And then they would find a like a pizza box full of shit.
That's one way to send a message, I guess.
I mean, hey, clean your room, dude. I one time, this made me think, I don't know if I told this story on the podcast before, but like, I just kept thinking of her walking home with the shit bag. She, like, even saying, like, I'll throw it away in a public trash can, that's not necessarily, like, the easiest thing in the world. Like, have you ever noticed when you're looking for a public trash can, you can't find one? And, like, any amount of walking in public with a bag of shit in your hand is, like, you're open for embarrassment.
Well, I guess people do that with, like, their dogs, if they're, like, cleaning up after their dogs and they're holding it until they can find then they toss it in like the nearest garbage, right?
Sure. So I guess you could always say it's a dog's shit, but right. You don't have a dog with you.
Yeah, that's the weird part, I would say.
You're the dog.
Right. Were you going to put it in your purse? Like, where's...
You can't... No, you're holding it. Like, yeah. That's... One time I was... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I probably would have just left it as the clogged toilet, I think. I would have just left it in the toilet.
I think that's easier said in retrospect.
I mean, that's what I did. So
okay,
I guess
so. Yeah.
when I had this exact scenario happen to me. I think I can confidently say that that's what I would have done. But there were other maybe. But he had roommates, so I felt that there was a diffusion of responsibility.
You could blame, someone else could. It could be assumed to be someone else.
It wasn't without a doubt me. So mm-hmm. I left it open. But I guess if he lives alone, maybe she more panicked.
I mean, she without a doubt left her shit on the kitchen counter.
Yeah.
Hey, I left my shit on the kitchen counter.
Next to the note. Directly next to the note. Thanking you.
Oh, your keys? No, my literal shit. My actual poop was left next to you, the note. But I hope you like the heart over the eye instead of a dot.
Like, oh, my God.
One time I was coming back from, I was at the Jersey Shore. I had the summer after college. Have I told you the story? The summer after college, I went and lived at the Jersey Shore, and I was like really just lost. Like I was feeling depressed. And just kind of like drinking myself away at Avalon in the Jersey Shore with a buddy of mine. And like we had like during the week, during the weekend, it was like all full of people that would come down from the city and from Philly and New York. But then during the weekends or during the weekdays, I kind of was just hanging there trying to figure out what the fuck I'm going to do. I think I was studying also for like the Series 7 at the time. So like I had like a little bit of like a reason to just sit and do nothing.
Right.
So I was there and I remember just not feeling great about myself. And then one night my buddy and I went to a bar and like we hooked up like I hooked up when we went out. And then I'm like a mile from where I was staying. So I like left and it was like the dead of summer and I'm in jeans with like dress shoes and I like took my shirt off. And so I'm just like the morning after. Gross, greasy, no shirt, jeans, dress shoes because of whatever. And like all of a sudden, this like spanking brand new like Range Rover, like looked like it just got out of the wash, pulls over and it's like, Freed? Free? Is that you? And I was like, and I like look over, I'm like, my eyes bright red, bloodshot. And it was my roommate from freshman year of college. And I remember he was like, dude, how you been? What are you doing now? And I was like, it was like, you know, when you're right out of college and people ask what you're doing now as if you've been out for 80 years. You're like, I got out a month ago, just
right.
Like you.
I'm
I have no fucking
parents.
Job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like shit sucks. It should suck for you. But then you have these people that act like it doesn't suck for them. He was like, yeah, I'm working at the museum now. I'm, you know, just here with my parents. Like, yeah, like everything seemed to be, like it just seemed like he just floated into the next section of life. And he's like, how are you? And I was like, I don't know. I'm fucking fat, shirtless and sweaty and gross. Like, I don't like. And I was just imagining, what if I had my own shit in my hand at that moment? Like, that would be the only way this moment would have been worse for me.
You'd have to just put it behind your back.
What's that in your hand?
Nothing.
Nothing. I went to Wawa. I got a sandwich. Oh, can I have half? No, get the fuck away from me. Stop asking me questions. What would you call this?
I would call it shit or get out of the apartment or both.
I would call it... what do they call it when you take the bag of shit and you burn it on someone like a ding dong?
Like in Billy
ditch.
Madison?
Yeah, like in Billy ding Madison.
Yeah.
So I would call this ding dong ditch. This
I like that. She did ditch.
She did
not on
ditch.
Purpose. Red flag or deal breaker if you're the person on the receiving end of this.
It is a very nice way to get out of something. I'll say that. It is nice that like
you
have
leave a pile of your own feces on my countertop.
Yeah, that would be Yeah, I it's the perfect out after having sex. And in fact, I would say to any single person that doesn't want to move on with their relationship, take a shit in a bag, you're good to go.
They'll break up with you. You'll be fine.
Yeah, you're out. This is
there you go.
What about for you?
I think it would be a I think I would text them. And I'd be like, what's going? I mean, unless I really didn't want to see them again, I think if it went really well and I actually would be open to seeing them, I think I would text them and be like, so I was expecting flowers, but yeah. I guess this will do.
I would have to know what happened.
Yeah.
I couldn't just live life.
I think I would
telling
be worried
that story
that they were like going to kill me if I didn't like. Was it like a fake friendly note and actually kind of menacing? Like,
well, at that point, the bag of shit next to it changes the note.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, is this sarcastic? Thanks for last night. I don't.
Absolutely. I'm with you. I need the end of the story, but it's not a deal breaker.
If we had a great night.
Yeah.
I think I would text him.
Let's do another email. Let's do an email. You ready?
Let's do it.
You want to do it?
Yeah, I'll read it. All right. J&J, love the pod. One of my all-time favorites, and I recommend it to everyone I know. I need to tap into your infinite wisdom. I started dating my boyfriend a little over 3 months ago. Even though we're still new, we moved from first date to boyfriend-girlfriend at lightning speed. I'm sure part of the reason for the quick-moving relationship is due to the pandemic and resistance from either of us to date around. But in addition to that, it's a really great fit. By far the healthiest relationship I've ever had. While I've been single for the majority of my adult life, he's a long-term relationship guy. He and his ex recently broke up after years of dating. Here's the rub. His relationship with his ex started as an affair on his end. She broke up with him just weeks before he and I met. For the first couple of months, he would still casually text her. I didn't feel I had a right to say anything since we were still very new, but eventually I let him know that it bothered me that they were still carrying on while she didn't know I existed. He realized the gravity of this, and as a result, he told her about me. She didn't take the news well, and they ended the conversation in a little bit of a tiff. Since then, he's been posting about me regularly on his social media accounts, and he's open with the world that we're in a relationship. I asked him to let me know if they continue their casual check-ins, and I told him that I'd prefer they don't, but I'm not going to make demands of him. I also asked him to let me know if and when they do communicate so that it doesn't feel like a secret. Well, I haven't heard anything, so I checked his phone. I know. There were a few texts that he initiated, nothing big, just Happy New Year. And did you see there's a coup happening right now on the nation's capital? To which she responded very briefly. After a few questions, is this even a big deal? I tend to think the casual check-ins might just stop after a while. Also, I plan to ask him if he's had any additional communication with her. What if he says no? I can't hardly say that I saw the text in his phone, but I know I'll hold a grudge if he lies to me and I don't call him out. How do I get the truth out of him without indicting myself?
I love that she's like, tell me how to lie more so that I don't get in trouble. Like. Right. I don't. What do you think of this? There's a lot here to unpack.
Well, yeah. So there's two separate, I guess, questions or issues. One is like, is it an issue? Is it a red flag that he's still texting this person, even though she told him it made her uncomfortable? Two, mm-hmm. She looked through his phone and like, is that a sign? I don't know.
Well, I would start at the problem with this conversation, and just to go like bit by bit, mm-hmm. is that they're together a few months after he got out of a very serious relationship, right?
Right. To me, I mean, like that's always kind of like not a red flag in itself, but it's something to, I guess it is a red flag because I feel like it's something to look out for. It's not a deal breaker. People get into new relationships all the time after that, but that would be something in the back of my mind if they had just gotten out of a long-term thing.
Yeah, and like again, like it's not like I think why this podcast is like people love it, but also like why I think sometimes, you know, people listen, they want to go, what should I do? So they're looking for rules. We can't give a rule. For every person, that dating someone 3 months after they got out of a long-term thing didn't work for. There's also someone it did work for. But you have to, she gives all this information and she has to start adding it together at a certain point. Red flags, you know, they, at some point they pile up in the room and there's no, and you have to put them together to make a deal breaker.
Right. They, each one on their own is usually like not that big of a deal, but what they're additive and they layer and like, they could be like 2 + 2 = 5 for them a lot of the time.
Yeah. And for this story, like, again, I'm just going to like connect a bunch of red flags. He gets out of a relationship a few months. His relationship starts as started as an affair on his end. So
what does that mean?
I was wondering. That was something I was going to ask you. I was like, does that mean he cheated on his wife or whoever it is with the person that ended up dumping him?
So the ex that he's talking to right now dumped him, but the way they started was that he was cheating on someone else to date her. Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's assume he was married and now he was with a woman that he had cheated with.
Okay.
Because based on the email,
that's
but
red flag, not deal breaker.
That's a red flag. Okay, fine. I don't know if, is that to say that he's a cheater? I think maybe that's why. I always try to think of like, why are things included by the emailer? So like, she's including that information for a reason. She's saying he has once a cheater, always a cheater might be at play here. I don't really believe in that. I do think.
But I do believe in this happened and like, this is something this person has done. Not like, again, sure, not a deal breaker. Perhaps, again, a red flag, which singularly on its own is not that big of a deal.
But I would also say that sometimes cheating is person specific. It is fiery. It is, you know, it is.
No, like, totally.
You know, it's based on like a sexual wrongness and all this stuff that goes into it. So it's like she, you know, him and this person might have that connection that like, it might be that this person and or this type of person or their whatever is just is what gets him off or what gets him charged up, like their whole thing, right?
Yeah, maybe they have some certain kind of like sexual chemistry. And again, I'm not saying like it's a red flag because once a cheater, always a cheater. But I am saying like this can tend to be how he, if he's not doing well in his current relationship, maybe like a coping mechanism of his is potentially a straying attitude. And it's something to look out for and to like talk to someone about and talk through with someone, I think, to get their thoughts on why they did it and what their thoughts are on it now rather than a deal breaker. But I think, again, like we're saying, like these are all red flags or things that like you would want a little bit more information about.
Yeah. And also they're connecting. So he is dumped by this person. When you're dumped, it takes more than a few months to just like to be in a whole new relationship where you say that they, you know, now you guys are like, everything's going great now. Like you started dating a little over 3 months ago.
Lightning speed.
Like you have to start going, well, maybe this isn't just us. It is this person.
Right. Like this person is always with someone. Clearly they left their last relationship for someone else. They left that one. They're immediately with someone else. Perhaps they're a little bit codependent.
It's starting to like, now we're building a profile. Like we're like, you know, now we're building, like it's like when they like build a case against a murderer. Like we're kind of building a case against a guy who loves monogamy or has his own personal issues where he can't be alone. And it's like you're now a part of that fix for him.
Right. Yeah. Like,
I just think it has to start with that. Like it has to start with when she says this is the healthiest relationship I've ever been in. Well, maybe it's not.
Right. Plus, I don't like that phrase because you've only been in a relationship for 3 months and like the first 3 months are always great. Like that's not a relationship, really. A relationship is when like that shit starts to kind of like the exciting stuff starts to fade a little and you deal with the real shit. And then that's when you find out if things are healthy. Like, It's always fun in the beginning.
Yeah, and I don't think him posting about you means that it's healthy. Like, right. You can post, you know, like him posting about you, but like, and then we go down to his texts. Like, you looked at his account. Obviously, you don't feel like this is going great. You do feel self-conscious. And his texts also have the form of someone who doesn't like being lonely or is your, like, he sent a happy new year. And did you see there's a coup happening right now? This guy's obviously got his finger on the pulse of society, but like,
well, he's, yeah. Those aren't even like, that's what I'm saying. Those are almost like more worrisome to me. They seem a little innocent, but they're almost like, I am trying to think of a reason to text you. I would almost prefer if it was like, did you see this character from this show that we used to watch together? Like, had this like really crazy, can you see Army? Did you see Army Hammer, who we were obsessed with? You know, sent these weird text messages and like, this was our thing, or this restaurant that we used to go to burned to the ground or something like that.
Yeah. You would rather the text be spurred by something that could only be sent to her.
Right.
Like, he could send a Happy New Year to like 700 people. He could send it to you. Like, he's sending it to her. Like,
yeah.
Why
is this someone he's trying to talk to? He's like thinking, he wants to find ways to like open the doors of conversation. It's not like something it's not reactive.
Yeah. And you've already asked him to stop. So that means he's not going to stop. This is something that he can't really stop, and your relationship isn't good enough for him to go, I need to move on from the last one. So like, I to go through her questions, is it a big deal? I believe so, Jordana.
Yeah, I think it would definitely be, again, I think maybe on its own, it wouldn't be that big. I think, like we were saying, like, it's the pile of red flags that it all comes from. And I think you might think you're in a happy relationship, but to me, this speaks more of like avoiding certain conversations so that you can have a quote unquote happy relationship, when like the real healthy relationships comes from like having these awkward conversations about your past and like what your thoughts on them are and like how you want to do things differently this time. And if you're kind of avoiding those conversations and things are going well, I don't think that's like so indicative of a healthy situation.
Yeah. Her biggest problem is her last question. How do I get the truth out of him without indicting myself? Well, that's basically asking, how do I lie more so that I can feel better? And that's just not how it's going to work. She needs to say, you know, you kind of have to shine the you have to turn on the ultraviolet lights. You have to turn on the lights where things don't look as good. You have to, you know, take the ring light off this relationship and start putting the, you know, the regular bulbs up and see, you know, kind of what you guys really look like. And right now, you look like you're in a relationship with someone who's, you know, not really excited about you two and is more just kind of trying to stay afloat to me.
Yeah. And I think it starts with like, if you want to open the conversation to find out what's really going on, turn on those lights. Like you just said, I think it starts with you being vulnerable, with you saying like, hey, I was feeling, you know, we got into this relationship so fast. I, you know, once I had a second, I kind of started to feel a little insecure about your relationship with your ex and the fact that you text her. And I did something, you know, I feel really bad about it. I feel kind of guilty, but I did check your phone and I apologize for that, for invading your privacy. But like, here's what I found. And like, let's talk about it.
Yeah. I think like, to me, this is someone who's writing in and I'm speaking to her. I'm not saying he's right. It sounds like he's lying. But we can only speak to the emailer. Hey, you have to like say like you have to be ready to end it with him, which it doesn't sound like she is. Like, it sounds like she's like, how do I preserve this thing that was good for 3 months? It's like,
right.
No, relationships change. They take different forms over the time. And you have to be ready to go, hey, you're really taking advantage of my feelings right now because I saw something I didn't want to see. I got to that place because I felt, you know, that you weren't being trustworthy along the way. I felt like I was missing something. And I, you know, again, there's a way to say it where you kind of blame him. I mean, you can kind of say like, you could just say, I don't feel comfortable in this relationship. And, you know, I feel badly, just the way you just said it, Jordana, is like perfect. But it's like, I think this all relates to like, I don't feel fulfilled. And I think maybe I should end it with you. Like, I think you're like, she's basically like doing all this stuff, like asking, how do I not get dumped? Well, right. why are you not dumping him at any point throughout this whole thing?
Right. Why do you want to date someone who's like lying to you about who they're speaking to and the ex that they're speaking to? And I think like when you can have those conversations where you're asking someone honestly about what's going on, that's when it's healthy. So like this mm-hmm. isn't, I wouldn't be like, oh, I'm going to ruin this healthy thing, because it's not healthy unless you can actually do that.
Yeah. Listen, people, UUP@betches.com. Keep sending your emails. Let's play some games with, you know, Stephen Colletti and James Lafferty. How about that, Jordana?
Let's do it.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night, go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10. And we are back. We're going to play some games, but we are very excited to have a couple of very special guests, James Lafferty and Stephen Colletti. Thank you guys for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Oh my God. I mean, you guys must get this all the time, but like my inner 16-year-old self is like screaming. I had like the biggest crush on both of you. You were like, those are, I feel like the two shows that you guys were on when I was in high school were like the shows were like, and you guys were like the like heartthrobs of those shows. I'm sure you're like sick of getting this, right? Like, I'm sure you must get it constantly.
It'd be silly to complain about it, I think. It's all right. It's far worse things that could be happening to a person.
Yeah. It's what's so led us to this, to everyone is doing great. So we're grateful.
Well, that is what you guys are here to talk about. Everyone is doing great. It's on Hulu right now. All the episodes are up right now and you can watch the whole season. And the premise of the show is true to life. If you, I mean, exactly what Jordana's talking about, I would assume this is where it comes from. Can you explain the show to people? Because this is like, I would assume this is a scene in the movie or in the TV show.
It very well could turn out to be. Yeah. I think. So it's basically about the cast of a show called Eternal, which was like a Vampire Diaries type show, which was huge. It was, you know, in our world, it was as big as, you know, Vampire Diaries or like Twilight or Gossip Girl. And basically, they're now 5 years removed from the show. They're in their early 30s, and their lives, you know, for some professional, some personal reasons, are just not going the way that they thought they were. And so that's the story, is about these three people, Seth, Jeremy, and Andrea, who used to be on this show, trying to remain friends and leaning on each other while their lives are just pulling them in completely opposite directions. And it's just about the comedy and the friction that causes.
So you guys became friends when, like, you and Steven?
Working on One Tree Hill together. Yeah. But when we were in our early 20s.
So when you guys pitched the show, are people, is it a little bit weird? Like is
it's
it like
Inception?
Yeah.
No, people actually, like, I think
it's a little vulnerable. You're like, yeah, these people don't know what they're doing with their lives. And it's like, they met on a show. It's like One Tree Hill, but it's not like, is it a little weird?
We want people to identify like the connection, but thankfully, you know, it's not just our lives. We feel like we are the guys for the job to write this show about people that have been, sure, you know, on a big show when they were younger, and you know, what's life like after that? Because we've had tastes of it here and there, you know, and just in seeing it and being in the world, you know, knowing the entertainment industry and coming off of a show, like I remember immediately coming off of One Tree Hill, getting back into LA and trying to audition, there was like a moment of struggle of trying to adapt into that process, because auditioning is its whole beast in itself. But I think that it's nice that people get that connection and they feel like, it makes it more intriguing, more people more interested to watch. And honestly, like if people are like, hey, I wonder what's real life or what was real, what's not, like that's fun. That means that they're engaged to the show. So we'll take that all day. But, you know, it's not about our lives.
Are you guys single, in relationships? Because this is a dating show. You know, we talk about modern dating and stuff like that. What is your relationship statuses?
Well, I'm engaged. My fiance is Alexandra Park, who is also on the show. She plays Andrea. So she's
on
the, what's that?
You got engaged?
Oh, yeah. I forgot. We'll talk about it later, Steven.
Breaking news. Look
in
at this.
Quarantine.
Yeah. So, you told me.
Notice how James said it. So you did say it very professionally. You were like, I am engaged. Like you had to, you called her a fiance. You didn't mess up. This was all on tape. We got you good, buddy. This is great.
That's me. That's me. Awkwardly polite, I guess.
That's the best part about being engaged to someone is now you're like, I have a ring to prove it. Like, do you know what I mean? Like you can with like a relationship, you're like, yeah, you know, some people could think it's more serious than the others. But like once you hit that engaged milestone, you're like, this is like basically an ink, I think.
Exactly. Yeah.
For me.
So that's my situation.
I wouldn't know what that feels like unless you call an engagement to my sweatpants for the last year, because that's been nice. Other than that, no.
So my question from that is, so you guys were single after One Tree Hill. Do you have people coming up to you and they're like it's like almost like this is their dream on earth? Like, because you get older and then you meet someone, like it's not like Jordana's 15 anymore. Jordana comes up to you, you know, someone's like, oh my God, this is like, did you do dating apps? Was there any type of online thing going on for you guys?
Man, I feel like when we got off One Tree Hill, like the social media was still barely even a thing. Like this was in 2011. I think like Twitter was around, but not everybody was on it yet. And like Instagram was, I didn't get an Instagram until like 2014 or 2015. So it was like, you know, it was just a totally different world back then. Completely. Yeah. Like the dating apps weren't around. Like our iPhones were for like calling people. They weren't for like living our lives through them. So the world was a much different place. And actually I feel like the show had this like crazy resurgence in popularity once it got on Netflix, which wasn't until years after the show ended. And so it was like, you know, the show ended and then it went away. And we were like, okay, like let's like, we're moving on with the rest of our lives. And then all of a sudden 4 or 5 years later, we all looked at each other. We were like, are you getting recognized more than you ever have? Like even once the show was on the air. And it was like, yeah, I think so. And they're like, yeah, this Netflix thing is weird. It's changing things for sure.
We had some, when we first crowdfunded the show, we were out doing some screenings and some TV festivals around the country. And there was, you know, some fans of One Tree Hill had brought their kids who also became fans of the show after it was on the streamers. So, you know, they're in their, you know, early 40s and or early 30s or so and have like a 10 or 11 year old kid who they would show the show to. And so they're becoming, you know, fans of that and finding out what we were doing with this show. They brought them along to come to the screeners. And, you know, we had to tell them before going in, we're like, hey, just so you know, this isn't One Tree Hill. What everyone is doing great is a little more for mature audiences. So yeah. I hope that they don't have, some images in their mind of Nathan Scott, who they would just, you know, slightly see shirtless in One Tree Hill, maybe with a little less clothing, and everyone is doing great.
are you guys, just on that note of like, you know, post being recognized and all that stuff, were you, when you were single or as someone who's single, are you more interested in someone who doesn't recognize you, or like, are you like insulted by that at this point?
No, that's something we play with in the show, right? Like, what Seth is kind of looking for, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel like I've met people that I think that dated that have either known me beforehand or haven't, you know? And I think the one thing that's a turnoff is when somebody pretends not to and clearly they do. You know what I mean? Mm. You sniff that out and you're like, okay, so is this considered lying? Are you?
It's like they're trying to neg you.
Yeah, this is a red flag.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're excited to have you guys on. We want everyone to go check it out. It sounds like a fun show. I love when shows kind of take a look at themselves and there's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of storytelling that comes from like, you know, a little biography that's like, you know, obviously lampooned to be funny and fun and give people a look at that world. So everyone is doing great. It's on Hulu. You can watch all the episodes right now. You ready to play some Red Flag Deal Breaker?
Let's do it.
Do it.
Let's do it. Jordana, you want to start us off?
All right. So, red flag or deal breaker, they open their phone to Google something you were talking about, and you see that they're Googling you in their previous search, like as an accident. Someone writes in, I was on a date, and he opened up his Google app, and it was on the images tab, photos of me. I wasn't sure what to do, so I pretended I didn't see it.
This is like early on?
First date.
Yeah. You accidentally see the images tab. It's not like they're showing you that they're Googling you.
I'd say just red flag because I just feel like everybody does that.
Just a red flag. Yeah. I'm sorry. What are the options again?
Red flag or deal breaker. You see this.
Red flag. Oh, that's right.
You see this. Yeah. You're like, I don't know, but I'll keep dating them. No, it's deal breaker. You never go on a date with them again.
Yeah. They're doing their research. It's just a red flag.
It
doesn't need to be a deal breaker.
They need to make sure that you're not some kind of criminal, right?
Well, I think it's actually a good thing because now you know they looked you up and they still went on the date.
Oh, yeah.
That's
very
true.
They saw you and they were like, oh, okay.
On the internet about us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's take this one step further. Let's say it's like a paid search, you know, like those sites you can like pay, like a slightly more detailed report on you.
Ooh. Like your credit rating?
Yeah, like they have your credit score.
James Lafferty is worth this amount of money. It's one of those, how much are you worth?
Right. They have like your like home address.
Yeah, that might be a deal breaker. I guess at a certain point, it's got to be a bit of a leap of faith, right?
Okay. I feel like date one she's concerned about were just worth. I feel like, I don't know, that would be a bit of a deal breaker for me.
Okay, they open up their phone and it is a Hollywood stars map and your house is circled on the map. Okay.
Deal breaker.
Found you.
That was a deal breaker, I think.
Jordana, what is it for you? What do you think?
I agree. It's just a red flag. I mean, I do this. When I was single, I was doing this to literally every single person I dated. I would never go on a date without Googling someone. I feel like,
yeah,
you know,
it seems unsafe to even do that. Like that seems like, yeah. All right, let's do another. He shows you his bank account balance on his bank app at the end of your first day. Backstory. I went for drinks with a guy about two blocks from his condo. I also live close, so it was in between our places. When it came to pay for the date, he insisted on paying, but all he had was his phone, and she puts in parentheses, Apple Pay. Turns out his bank account got frozen and the app stopped working. I guess because he was so close to home, he didn't think to bring his wallet. He apologized profusely and turned so red. I could tell he was genuinely an accident, considering how flushed and frazzled he was. His face was the color of a tomato. I said it was no problem at all. I could get it, and he could get next time. I think he thought I didn't believe him, and he pulled out his phone to e-transfer me. I kept insisting it was okay because I really enjoyed the date, and we only had two drinks. He kept repeating that he wasn't cheap and logged into his account to show me it had $300,000 in it, LOL.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad that you provided some context there because that I feel like that sounds like a guy who was really, really embarrassed and who was flailing and then just dug himself a little hole he didn't know how to get out of. That sounds like a desperate attempt. It doesn't sound too bad. I'd say red flag. I'd say give him another shot. He obviously cared. He obviously really, really cared. And it didn't come from a place of like trying to show off, I don't think. Mm.
Yeah, I mean the showing of the bank account. I mean, I guess he was just desperate at that point, you know, because I feel like if somebody was just wanted to show you on a date their bank account, that would be a deal breaker, I think. Yeah. But considering the circumstances, you know, yeah, it's just a red flag.
Especially if you enjoyed the date, especially if you actually hit it off.
Yeah, you know they have a down payment for a house.
Great.
Right.
You know, they're cash liquid. They can't really have an excuse when it comes to rings when that time comes.
Yeah.
These are James, after getting engaged, you know, you got to have a couple of shekels ready to go for a ring. What, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Look, I mean, it's I guess you can see that as an added bonus for sure. it's transparency at the end of the day, you know? He's transparent, so
Jared, what do you think?
I it's a little much. Like if someone puts their phone in my face to show me, like there's a point where it's like, yeah, I believe you. Like I believe you can afford two drinks. I gotta believe it is a little bit showing of their confidence level, which I don't maybe not want to deal with. Like I wouldn't want to deal with someone like who needs to, but also sometimes when someone like pushes that hard, you're like, what are you lying about? Like, if this is what you're not lying about, where is the lie? Jordana, what do you think?
I agree. It's like, I would find it like a little tacky. And then I would think like, you were like so desperate to prove to me that you have some money that like, there's something like, I think I agree with what you said, like a confidence thing. I think I would just be very turned off by it.
Yeah. What are you overcompensating for?
You need to show me like your bank account.
I remember sometime there was somebody who was talking about real estate that they had and they kept talking about it. And it was almost like as soon as they would mention like another property, it was they're looking me directly in the eye to see if like I'm it's registering with me and then if I'm gonna give them the validation right back. And I remember thinking like, oh man, like there is a need here for them to not only divulge this information, but then to get the validation back of like, oh, got another property. You know what I mean? And I was like, this is more than a red flag. This might be a deal breaker.
Yeah.
And they're trying too hard.
He should have been comfortable with her picking up the tab. I mean, come on, it's 2021. Like,
sure.
We're so less stable from our equals, right? Like if I get it, he wanted to pick up the tab. It's just a chivalrous thing to do. But at the end of the day, like it's not a big deal. Like she should be able to pick up the tab.
Yeah.
Didn't make you feel
better. Venmo her later. Have you guys ever, have you ever split a first date or let someone else take you out?
I never pick up the tab. It's just a policy.
That's how you find out if they're there for the right reasons. Right?
There you go.
On principle.
I was just saying, I always pick up the tab. My mom would have my head if I didn't pick up the tab.
I like that. I think whoever asks should pick up the tab. So I would agree with that one.
Let's do one more. You ask them on a date what they usually look for. You ask them on a date what they usually look for in a partner when dating, and they reply, if there's no ass, there's no us.
It's a real submission.
That's a real question.
It's a real experience that a listener had on a date. These are all real encounters. Oh,
I have to say that's a great slogan. Like it's fun. It's funny. I don't think it's necessarily... I would assume you're on the... What do you guys think?
It's got to be a deal breaker. I mean, I don't see any way around it, unfortunately.
I'm going to agree with James there.
Yeah. Well, at that point, I'd be looking at my own ass. I'd be like, did I make the cut? Like, I would be like...
I know.
Right?
I know. It's just wrong for so many reasons.
I just love how they had the line ready to go.
They were waiting to use it, right?
Just wait. That wasn't the first time they ever said that.
No. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's probably tattooed on their body somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. That would signal to me he's not looking to commit, I think. You know, it would be very symbolic of that. And I don't think, if I was like at a frat party and someone said that, I think it'd be okay. But like anything older than that, probably.
Yeah. What if they said it like this, Jordana? As my dad always said to us, if there ain't no ass, there ain't no us. Like, what if that was? What if it was more
like he's in Shallow Hell?
Yeah.
I think that's like the opening scene from that. Yeah, that's like almost worse. It's like now your whole family is terrible, and you and your whole family. It's like double bad.
But it's written above. But it's written above the mantle on a big wooden sign.
It's the family crest.
Yes.
Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on. Stephen Colletti, James Lafferty, thank you guys for coming on. I want everyone to go check out their show. Everyone is doing great. Everyone is doing great. It's on Hulu. Full episodes. They're all up there. You got your binge. There it is. It's ready for you to do. It's a cold winter weekend. It's time to get into Everyone is Doing Great on Hulu. Go for it. Watch it. Enjoy it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for the hype. Appreciate
that. Thank you so much. That was awesome.
Good talking to you guys.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
Well, that's it for us. We'll see you guys on Sunday.
That's right. We'll see you next episode.
Betches.